Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Pod Pals. This week, we will be reviewing Lisa the Greek, directed by Rich Moore, written by Jay Cogan and Wallace Wolodarski, airing on the 23rd of January, 1992. But before we get into all of that, let me introduce my still currently employed co-host, Anthony.
Nope, Dan. You see, I'm not employed, you see. I haven't told you.
Okay, what's happened?
They let us go. They all had a big meeting. They all they said some things. I said some things, and didn't want me to come work for them in the end.
I keyed some cars. They didn't key some cars.
I stole some money. They didn't agree with that. But we're all different. We're all different. We're not meant to agree.
This is it. And that's what makes life beautiful, isn't it? Are you still employed?
I did accept my redundancy offer that I was given, but I'm working until June, so I'm not scum just yet. I'm still gainfully employed until the end of June.
I tell you what, though, that's a nice position to be in. You can just go to work to like absolutely nothing.
Do you know what? I'm thinking, well, what can I do? Genuinely thinking about just going to the Euros, you know.
Just not turning up at all.
So I just go at the Euros in June, but like not even go and watch England, go and watch like fucking Belgium.
Thing is, what can they really do to you though? What are you going to do, suckers?
Well, this is it, right? Like part of us is thinking, right, okay, like the decision's been made. I've still got to like keep my head down though and like do a good job. Otherwise, they could just like sack us before then and they'll not have to pay us any money. But my brother was just like, well, I'd put a sick note in me, like.
Straight away, yeah.
I was just like, oh,
yeah.
That.
I mean, I'm in agreement with your brother. Like, I'd be absolutely on the sick with stress. My head's done in. I can't possibly come to work.
No, people who I work with do actually listen to this podcast. So I just want to put it on record and say that I'm not going to do that. But I do feel really sad inside.
I don't know if I'm going to cope. I mean, you have taken a little bit of a gamble putting in voluntary redundancy, but that suits this week's episode nicely, doesn't it?
That was fucking smooth.
I like that.
Here's me just thinking you were taking an interest in my life, but no, segue so you could sound like Mr. Fancy Presenter Man.
I bet you want me to chat you clean off. Like someone just rip your cock clean off.
Why? How are we getting on to this?
What's the problem?
Ten seconds ago, you were saying the episode title, and now you're saying this.
I'm talking about ripping off your phallus.
There's literally like no rules with you. It's just fucking anything goes.
Well, I mean, can I ask you a Simpsons question on that note?
Go on if you want to do that, yeah.
Have you ever gambled and won big?
Fucking hell. I mean, I hope this redundancy is one of those times. What are you talking like just actually gamble? Or are you talking like metaphorically?
However you like, it's your podcast, so.
It is, yeah. So I'm just going to answer and say no. No, I have. The biggest I've ever won in gambling terms, I won a couple of grand, but I think I told on another podcast where I cashed out. I could have won $2,000. One of the best, and I was like, yes, a bit annoyed because I was like, oh, fuck, I could have won more there.
I think gambling is one of the most dangerous things in the world, personally.
Yeah, it depends on your personality, innit? Like, people out there who just have, like, innately compulsive personalities. I mean, you are very much one of those.
Can you lend me some money?
You're probably gambling now as I'm answering this question.
Who do you think will win between Shangri-La women? Jokes aside, you know, I think when you first turn 18, you can gamble and you download all the betting apps and stuff. I remember betting on like Israeli women versus like Mexico women at 2 a.m. and stuff. Like, you do get to the point where you're asking yourself, what the fuck am I playing at?
Yeah. I always remember one of my other big wins, actually, it was when I was at uni and I'd been out on a night out and I got in at like 3 a.m. and I just had, for some reason, I had a quick glance at Sky Bet and there was like, the Brazilian Serie B was on, like the second division in Brazil was on. And I just put a random accumulator on. I think I won about £800 off that. And it was just totally random. But like, that was where I peaked. Like, I'll never ever get that lucky again.
No, I think that, well, yeah, that is quite lucky. I mean, have you got any money now?
Oh, I've got fucking redundancy package coming in June, Dan.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
That's as good as Sky Bet's money, that. If you
exactly, exactly. Podpals is going to have lots of shiny new bells and whistles. We don't do anything major. We just like buy ourselves a guinea pig to have around the house.
We both get bejazzles.
Oh, there's a male version of that apparently, and I only know because I recently watched a video of Frankie Boyle mocking some absolute airhead off The Only Way Is Essex, because she was talking about it and he said, like, all right, do you want magpies to peck your vagina off or something? And she was like, oh, you know, did you actually know that there's something called a perjazzle? Frankie Boyle was just like, no, absolutely not.
Was it Morn and Myrtle he was talking to, was it?
Oh, I was down the toilet.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
I hear her voice, me.
You know, she was like 37, yeah, the actress who played Morn and Myrtle. Yeah, she's in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Hang on. You have seen... I struggle to think of a world where you have watched Bridget Jones's Diary.
So this, I've watched it on one of the rare occasions where I relinquish my cougar grip on the remote control and give it to my missus, and she said, "Can I put this on?"
You've got to be pragmatic, haven't you? And you've got to like. Yeah. I tell you what, I watched and I fucking thoroughly enjoyed it. I was like, "It was a proper mint." This, The Devil Wears Prada. I was like, "Hey, what a film! What a film!"
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that.
There was a bit, obviously, because Meryl Streep's in it, but she's like 60-odd in this film. And I was like, oh, she's all right there, like Meryl Streep, thinking, oh, she's not bad there, like a couple of pints. Mm-hmm. And then the next scene, she's just in like a dressing gown, and she's just like me gran a bit. And I was like,
she'd have to get a vibrator pissed. And before we go any further, I think it's only fair that we give a shout out to Sean Musgrove. Listeners who don't know Sean, he's a listener of the show, often writes in, very supportive to me and Anthony what we do. So we want to return the favour a little bit because Sean has made the papers this week. Sean's partner, she went into cardiac arrest while she was at work, and Sean, upon hearing the news, rushed to the scene and administered life-saving CPR under the direction of a 999 call handler. Thankfully, Sean's missus began to come round before the paramedics arrived. Sean made the paper and he said that the relief when she started to breathe again and her heart started to beat, it was unbelievable. It was so emotional. I knew she was someone I definitely wanted to be with, but this proved it. I didn't want to lose her. Sean's missus replied, saying, "When I came round and saw Sean's face above me, I felt so safe and relieved. I don't know how I did it, but I mustered up all the strength and I just grabbed his collar. I had tears in my eyes. I was just so glad he was there for me. He's an absolutely amazing person. I didn't think this sort of love would ever happen to me, but it has." A really, really feel-good story. Heroic actions from Sean to sort of, you know, save the life of his partner, and us over here at Pod Pals just want to give you both sort of a massive, you know, pat on the back and well done. And Sean's dear partner, we won't say your name for privacy's sake, but we do hope that you're doing a lot better and that you're feeling well again now. Well, fair play, Sean, real hero.
Look, and I'm just very relieved that for once we've had a listener of the show who's made the news for not committing a sex crime.
Hey,
that story framed. That story's more like a plus for us than it is for Sean.
I did not say that Sean hadn't committed a sex crime at any point in his life. There is time yet, and there's yet to be uncovered. No, seriously, joking aside, well done, Sean. Pat on the back. Well done, mate.
Well done, pal. Well done.
Anthony, would you like to hear some fun facts about Lisa the Greek?
Yes, go on then.
Okay. Now, this episode...
Greek. That's your only fun fact.
Greek entered a financial crisis in 2009. This episode was written to satirize the Simpsons writers' love of gambling on American football. I do think when you get a group of blokes in a room who is like mid-20s, early 30s, gambling's just on the agenda.
Yeah. I think in America, like, it's much more like frowned upon, isn't it? Like, it is literally like, it's almost illegal to do it, whereas here, like, it's fucking everywhere you look at it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can't turn the telly on, open your phone, like walk down, like even on the side of buses and stuff, there's advertising for betting shops. Get a free bet with Coral when you sign your mortgage over to us and that. Like, it's just like
sign your mortgage over to Coral.
Like, can you give Ladbrokes power of attorney and we'll give you a £2 free bet? Like, it's just like incessant in this country, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what gets me when you watch the football and they'll always do that thing before, like literally just before kickoff, after like they've read the teams out and they're all getting in position and that. And like they'll be like, okay, we'll be right back with Man City Liverpool after this. And it'll literally be a 30-second like break. So they might as well just not have it. But you can guarantee mm-hmm. that 30 seconds is always a fucking Bet365 or like a
Sky yeah. It's disgusting, really.
It is, it's Megan, because people, like, don't want to get all serious on you this early on, but like people genuinely do have a problem and it's just like mm-hmm. fucking dangling it in front of their face.
Yeah, that's right. It's a carrot with a donkey in it. But I think South Park have done a whole episode about where like gambling companies, they're not really targeting 90% of the population. They're targeting that 2% of the population who have a problem. That's yeah. exactly who they're counting on, those people to sort of give into the weaknesses.
Like, basically me and you. That's it.
I used to love a bet. I had to sort of restrict myself because it gets to the point where like your money gets away from you. And I think it's only with a bit of maturity and a few big losses that you go, right, okay, let's not do that.
It's when you chase your losses. Like I gamble quite frequently, but I'll always like, I'm like, right, okay, this is 20 quid. Once I've lost this 20 quid, it's it. Like, I'll not,
yeah, totally. I mean?
I'll never chase my losses.
Totally. I do that, but I always say to myself, right, once I've signed the mortgage over, I won't sort of chase it if I lose. Okay, moving on. This episode aired just days before the Super Bowl, and the Simpsons writers, surprise, surprise, correctly predicted that the Washington Redskins would win. Simpsons writers are obviously well known for predicting the future.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, that is just match fixing, I think, is what they've done there.
I suppose. Well, there's an episode later in the series when they're doing the Super Bowl where Homer and Moe hold the beer glass over the face, so like any given yes. team can be dubbed over the top.
Yes. I did think that, you know, in this one, because obviously like I'm not familiar with the history of the NFL, particularly yeah. in the 90s. So I was like thinking, I was like, I wonder if these two teams were actually the Super Bowl finalists.
Yes, they were. They were. Oh, so
that's impressive.
So the early episode aired that they were, but hence why they sort of put the glass over the top of the mouth so it can be interchangeable. What I will say about the Washington Redskins, they're not actually called that anymore. Obviously, racial sensitivity in the modern day. They're called the Washington Commanders. In this episode, it was designed to further explore Lisa's relationship with Homer. There was a bit of talk in the writer's room, apparently, because it was going to be a Lisa Marge episode. But the guys who wrote it, Jake Wogan and Wallace Wolodarski, decided that it was a bit more difficult to write for Marge because they were both fathers to little girls. So they felt if they do Homer stuff, Homer's funnier and they can put more of their own life experiences into the episode.
Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid the Simpsons do an episode where the central characters are both women. I mean, God. Move on.
I don't want to live anymore. Your final fun fact this week is Yardley Smith, obviously the voice of Lisa. She received a Primetime Emmy Award for her performance in the episode.
Yeah, she is good. Like, I know you don't like, I mean, I don't like a Lisa episode, but I know you really don't. I think this one's bearable, you know. I actually really like this one.
Yeah, I think I don't mind a Lisa episode when she's with Homer and there's a bit of comic relief. I just don't like to be preached to, I suppose. Yeah. And Lisa's quite preachy. I mean, I've gone to church every week, you know. I don't like to be preached to.
I wouldn't mind you like be preached to by.
Exactly. That's Jesus Christ. No, but seriously, there's only one God, and it's Jesus. So, moving on. Right. So, should we get into the plot, Anthony? I suppose
yes,
we ought to.
I love this one, so let's go.
So, without further ado, I'm going to start.
Start the plot.
I tell you what, did you not get the reference?
Yes, I did. That's what I was doing. Cincinnati.
Sorry. So I couldn't hear you. I just thought you were having a stroke or something. I thought, nah, fuck.
So your instinct was to talk over us.
Right. Lisa, she's complaining to Marge that Homer doesn't share her interests. Marge suggests doing something that he likes, so Lisa watches with Homer a televised game of football. Homer is a massive dickhead. Like when Lisa sits with him.
Do you know what he is? He's a dad. He's a dad. Mm. Like I used to have, like I've always liked football, and me and my dad, like that's one of like the main things we bond over. But like I have memories of like being a kid and like like obviously you'd ask more questions, and I'd like ask a question during the match. But I'm trying to listen, I can't hear.
I feel like dads, I think our generation of dads, they weren't the most patient of fellas.
No, it was like on a fanny hair, wasn't it? It was just flipped from like just being perfectly civil and just like
fanny hair. like the hair on a gnat's knacker bag. Like that's how short the fuse is. Like, honestly, I remember, because dads in airports are really stressed, right? But like,
you can't win.
You can't.
You can't help, but you dare give it to them and you just get totally in the way.
In the 90s, I think airport security was a little bit more lax before, like, well, terrorist attacks, basically. But I remember we were stood in the queue at Newcastle Airport to go on holiday. And my dad, this was like 4 a.m, so he was already annoyed. Like, so I'm sure the plane didn't take off till like 2:30 in the afternoon, but 4 a.m. we were there at the airport ready to go. So this, we were stood in the queue. Oh, how long is this queue? And I think I was about 7, my older brother was 10. And this fella, like, kept banging the trolley into the back of my dad's legs. So, obviously, just in the queue, accidents happen. People's excited to go on holiday. Everyone's in a good mood, except your dad, obviously.
Yeah, if anything, he ruins the holiday.
Exactly. His presence spoils a hot family holiday. So, anyway, this guy, like, he was like the third time he banged. So, my dad turned around and said, "Will you be careful with that bastard trolley?" And the bloke was like, "Oh, sorry, mate, it was an accident." My dad says, "Accident. Oh, look at the accident." When airport security came over and said to my dad, "Can you calm down, please?" And I always remember this line, because it's not even that funny, but it's just simple. My dad said to airport security, "Who's rattled your cage, bird brain?" And like, like when I reflect on that now, I think to myself, "God, if that was 2024, you'd just be in a cell in the airport."
Yeah, I was going to say, he'd have been tasered.
Exactly. You wouldn't get anywhere near him.
He's had the nerve to say, like, "Wow, what's wrong with your cage, bird brain? Like, exactly. What's going on with your ass? Like, you're the one who's shouting.
You're the one spoiling the campaigns as holiday. You're the one
frightening the children, Jimmy."
I mean, thankfully, we got on the plane at about 6:30 and he could get a whiskey and he was much better.
Oh, my God. Once he's had his medicine, he's all right. Isn't he?
He's all right. He said, it takes the pain away. Oh, dear. Anyway.
You know, though, what I thought was funny with this, like, I realized watching it, like the bit at the start where Homer's like just eating the sweets and he's drinking, he's just going like 100 miles an hour, just like shoveling stuff. That is literally me watching football on a Sunday now, you know.
Totally. So this is where we get the bit where Homer sort of rings the betting advice line. So after being cheated by the premium rate betting service, a desperate Homer asks Lisa to pick a winner, and she picks the Miami Dolphins. So Homer calls Moe's to place a $50 bet, and Homer and Lisa celebrate the Dolphins' victory. Imagine ringing your local boozer to, like, put your bet on.
Yeah, that's seedy, you know, like... I think if there was no such thing as gambling apps, I don't think I'd gamble. I always feel like really uncomfortable going into the shops. They just give off just misery.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, I think it's an old fashioned thing as well. I remember going into betting shops, like, and there would be like newspapers where they would have like the horses already laid out and stuff. And there'd be like those little pens that you get at Argos or banks where like people had like scribbled over the bet because it had lost and stuff. Like, and then not to mention like the slot machines where people just put in like 200 quid and it's gone within 3 minutes and that.
My memory of betting shops is like people still smoked in them like years after the smoking ban came into effect.
That's probably funny. You're right, actually. Like you were going and like it's a bit like, you know, when they turn Moore's Bar into a speakeasy.
Yes.
and everything's going on that shouldn't be. There's people gambling, there's strippers like picking horses out for you. Like.
I used to know a lass who worked in a betting shop when I was at university, and she...
Oh, is it the same one we know?
I don't know. Who is it? Say it off.
Was she in my year?
No.
All right. For listeners who don't know, I took a gap year, Anth didn't, so we'd done the same degree, but he was a year ahead. Anyway, moving on.
Dan went to fucking go and pave roads for like the Inuit tribe of Kazakhta. I don't know. So that's how ignorant I am.
I was just going to say, that was the most close-minded ignorance I've ever heard. You fucking bigot.
You bigot.
Oh dear. So anyway, she worked in a bookies.
She used to always say the worst thing about it was like the amount of smackheads who would just go in and just fucking shoot up in the toilets.
I can imagine. I suppose that's how they get the money.
I suppose I put a bet on like, it.
I was gonna say you'd have to be high as a kite to bet on Sunday, wouldn't you?
It doesn't stop us.
Anyway, Lisa seems to be very adept at picking winning teams. So Homer declares every Sunday will be daddy daughter day. Nice idea, but it's sort of built on a grimy preface, isn't it?
Yeah. Ulterior motives, isn't it, from Homer? And that's obviously what the problem is later on in the episode. But
it's a good moral.
Take away from the fact it's a nice thing to do. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, my problem with Homer, I mean, being a dad myself, I think my problem is with Homer is that you should be taking an interest in your kids' interests, not the other way around.
Oh, that's 100%.
I wouldn't expect my boy to like be up. I'll be up at midnight tonight on the Xbox playing on Dead Island 2. I'm not going to go to my son's cot and be like, oh, wake up, Bobby, come watch your dad on this. Like, as I'm smashing a zombie's teeth out with a sledgehammer. Like,
my brother was telling us actually, like, my little niece, she's only five. Well, she's four, going on five.
Four going on 30. cheeky things.
Colour TV, Daniel, that's where it is. It's frightening.
iPads the eating. Sorry, go on.
So he gets like off like the PlayStation store, he'll get like Paw Patrol games, like daft little kids games.
We've got a bluey game,
like no level, real skill level involved. But anyway, the other day he had her on Crash Bandicoot, right? And he was like, the jumping skill level for that, like our brain just couldn't comprehend.
He
was just so lost.
Our brain was just much teeny.
The thing is, though, that I know what he's like, and he'd have been getting chewed with that. He'd have been getting snappy. You're supposed to jump, man.
I tell you what that made me think of, right? Do you remember when you would get like a Call of Duty game and like you would do the story, you'd be like, oh, I'm such a good soldier, I mean, look at that. I haven't even gotten shot once. And then you would go play online and you'd get, I'll show all these silly little Americans out to play, and then you just wouldn't last a second online.
You'd probably spawn in and then you just hear and you'd just be down straight away. Right.
You know when like somebody falls to a massive height and the body's obliterated on South Park and it's going, that's literally what it is online, and then you load it up, it refreshes again. just that for 2 hours. Anyway, Lisa, she sustains her winning streak for 8 weeks, earning her father more and more money as the Super Bowl approaches. Homer buys his family expensive gifts and meals with the gambling earnings. But when Lisa asks Homer if they can go hiking the Sunday after the Super Bowl, he tells her that daddy-daughter days are over until next football season. Lisa is rightfully upset, I mean.
Yeah, because, again, Homer pretty directly there is basically saying, like, I'm not really interested in what you want to do. I was literally using you for sport. That's essentially what he was saying.
I mean, it would be quite handy to have a child who's, like, exceptionally good at telling me which team's going to win.
Honestly, I'm going to start looking for one, me. Actually, no, that sounds weird.
Hello, Derek Lasabri. Ant's just told us he's been looking for children.
Only ones that are good at gambling, man, Dan. How are
you? Sorry, officer. Forget me left. Lisa realizes Homer only wanted her to help him gamble and does not actually treasure her company. Meanwhile, Marge is sort of taken by Homer's idea. She arranges a Mother Sunday with Bart by taking him clothes shopping, forcing him to try on unfashionable clothes, and humiliates him by flinging open the fitting room door, causing Sherry and Terry and other customers to laugh at him in his underwear.
My favorite gag of the episode is actually the bit where the shop security are watching the cameras and they see that the little girl's got in with the socks, like she's stealing the socks. Just, we got a code red. Those aren't the socks you came in with. let's roll. Is he just throws him a shotgun?
Totally agree. It's because he cocks the shotgun with one hand, like he's ready to use it. No, it's like, not like
there's some experience.
Yeah, like it's not just a scare tactic for the little girl. Like they are willing to use them.
We got a code red. Let's roll.
A pair of socks. That's funny. Funny as hell. Also, like, can you imagine living? I think it used to be the case, mind, where there were cameras in changing rooms. But can you imagine that nowadays?
Oh, nah. I always try and act really sexy in changing rooms, me, just in case they still are.
Be seductive. Like the Sky Girls, like waving an imaginary phone at the camera. Oh, dear me. Anyway. Excuse me.
Sorry, that was too far.
What did you say? Putting syrup on your tits?
Yeah.
What type of syrup?
The kind that comes from your willy.
Do what you need to do, buddy lad. Wash your mouth out with soap. Because you, not only are you a bigot, you're also a pervert.
You've got a lot of problems, Anthony.
But this is
look at this. You, but you're making it very difficult.
But this is the very premise that we have built this pub, and we've got an empire here, and it's built on perversion and toilet humour.
It is an absolute fucking house of cards, isn't it, when it comes out.
Also, like, we've already been told off once by Podbean. All it takes is one strike and Podpals is done. Dear me. People Bart, anyway, he spends the rest of his day locked up in the car to avoid getting beat up by the bullies over Marge's poor fashion choices. Whilst Marge herself remains totally oblivious, by the way, but I did like that they were rocking the car. Fucking hell, man, all right.
I like how not Marge or Homer have got out and been like, can you stop? They just let it happen.
So probably a year ago now, I bought myself, like, you've seen my little car, my little Citroen that I run about in. I bought one just for, like, going up and down to work, because it's just, you know, I only live like 4 miles from where I work, so up and down, nice and easy anyway. But when my brother first seen it, my brother's like a big strong fella, so he's seen it, he was like, whatever you bought it, and he just started rocking it, and it was on like two tires. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Put me car down.
I love how your brother's like the world's strongest man level of strong. Like,
honestly, like, I tell you what it was like. It was like when
I call him Mark Henry.
I tell you what it was like. Do you remember on on The Incredibles? Mr. Incredibles picks up his car. It's like that. You can put it down, man.
I'd imagine you being like that bloke on The Simpsons where he's like, do you think there is something comical about my automobile?
Everyone needs to drive, even the very tall. Now march. Oh dear. Sorry, if I keep pausing, it's because I'm having a drink of water. I've been like, ever since I had that blood pressure scare in the appendix and that, like, I've realized the importance of drinking water. So now I've constantly got, like, I'm one of those, like, annoying American girls with, like, a Stanley cup. I've, like, constantly got, like, some water with us.
Fucking Stanley cup wanker, are you?
Well, mine's actually a Yeti, so it's like the British version, basically.
Oh, well, there you go. That's fine.
It's a little bit better, but, like, I'm going to go get an iced frappe, latte, pumpkin spice cappuccino in me Fiat 500 because I'm such a basic bitch. After a nightmare in which her childhood sports betting with Homer caused her to grow up to be a compulsive gambler, Lisa, completely heartbroken, gives away all her toys that Homer had bought with a betting stash. I did like Lisa's dream. Made us laugh.
Yeah, I still think it's a bit over the top. Like, you know, only Lisa would have that dream, wouldn't she?
Well, this is Lisa for you all over. Like, not everything is like, just because you've helped your dad with a few quid, you're not going to be this kid. Here's your old 60-year-old sitting at a blackjack table.
Yeah. How many pints for old blackjack Lisa?
Look, I've said before, there's no level of sexual depravity low enough for me. So it's quite simply zero drinks, a Stanley bottle of water. But you were right what you said at the top of the episode, where, like, this episode isn't like a particularly preachy Lisa episode. It's like, it's got like elements of it, but it's more like about the relationship, which is much better than like the writers telling us how to think.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I agree with that. Also, I'll tell you what I did notice in this one. The bit where there's a bit where Homer's in Moore's, right?
Uh-huh.
And when he first walks in, you see the bar full of people. And in that bar is Herman playing pool.
How is that right? How does Herman play pool? I didn't notice that. Well, also, why would he also be in 6-year-old Lisa's fantasy? Surely Herman would be dead.
No. This was just when he was in Moors.
Ah. Oh, I apologize. Can the one arm play or play pool? I'm sure they could manage.
That's what I don't know. I remember playing pool with somebody from a... He was in a wheelchair. And I know, again, I'm the dickhead. I shouldn't really have done this because it kind of shows me to be even more ignorant than I've proven to be. But I remember
this guy. Was he in, like, one of the locals from the village we're originally from?
Yes. And I remember he walked in and he was like, I was playing pool with someone. And then he wanted a game. And shouldn't have, but in the end, I just felt a bit sorry for him because he was clamming for a game. So he's like, oh, hello, mate, I'll give you a game.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Flowers, didn't he? Didn't get a look in. I even let him break. I was like, hey, go on, mate, you can break.
Yeah, see, just because somebody has like a handicap does not necessarily mean that they're going to be like worse than you. Like, I always remember the South Park episode where Cartman like does the Special Olympics and he just gets the floor wiped with him on everything. Anyway, Lisa, she tells Homer who will win the next game, but she warns him that she is so distraught she might unconsciously want him to lose. She makes a cryptic prediction that if she still loves him, Washington will win. If she doesn't, then Buffalo will win. That's dramatic, isn't it? I was a little bit dramatic as a kid, you know. Like, I see a tiny bit of myself as a kid that I was a little bit like that, but I don't know if it's because the likes of Lisa was rubbing off on me. So, like, I always remember, like, there was this woman lived over the street from us. I used to play with our son when I was, like, 3-4 year old. And she was just, like, this big, fat, lactating sow of a human being. And it used to be, like, just deep-fried beige teas all the time. But anyway, I fell out. See, right? And I was like, I'd been told off my mum, so I was like, oh, I hate you. I'm going to go live with... Mm-mm-mm. And, like, I wasn't... My mum bust out laughing. She was going, what? You go and live with her. I don't know why my mum sounds like that.
I was going to say, why is your mum Big Mama from the film Big Mama's House?
Oh, you're going to have to do the fishing now. But I'll be watching your ass.
I was a bit like that. I think me and you were quite similar. Like, yeah, I was just really, like, just dramatic and, like, I'd always, like, right, I'm leaving, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
Totally.
So, yeah,
totally.
That, maybe you got a point. You've done more in this half an hour than my therapist has in 10 years. Maybe that's why I'm the way I am, because of Lisa.
I tell you what, I actually did it once. Like, I threatened loads, and then once I literally packed the bag and I went out at, like, 7 o'clock and I didn't come back till 9:30 or something. So me, mum and dad were like out in the car looking for us. And I thought, like, oh, when I get in now, they'll have missed us so much and they'll just be like so happy that I'm safe. And no, they just ripped everything out my bedroom, telly, PlayStation, blankets.
You were just beating it within an inch of your life.
I thought I knew that they really loved us and they missed us. And then me dad smashed the telly over my head. So Homer's anxiously watching the game at Moore's, and Washington scored the last second and win, overjoyed that his daughter still loves him. Homer cancels his bowling date with Barney and goes hiking with Lisa the next weekend. Nice little roundup, etc. Nice little story too. They rounded it up in quite a snappy way. If that was me and it was, I was like watching, my little lad said if Liverpool don't win this, he doesn't love us. I'd be like, oh, you son, that's not how it works. You don't love us, do you? Right, watch this then. And then I'd like get in the car really drunk, say how he felt then.
Plow into a wall.
He wouldn't be laughing then, would he? He wouldn't be laughing. Why, that sounds like I have a voice box there.
I know, you sounded like 1998 Kane.
Yes, that was the reference I thought he's either going to use the Kane reference or he'll use the, what's Jimbo's mate on South Park called?
Ned.
Ned, yeah, I thought you were going to say Ned or Kane, but when you went with Kane, I was going to say Kane if you didn't.
Well done. Well, that's why we're friends, you see. That's why we're
rest
friends.
Rest in peace.
No one can stop pain.
WWF
Have I ever told you this story of where I got like a wrestling toy for Christmas and it was like quite clearly possessed, right?
Like, someone set this thing to evil.
Me brother like swears this didn't happen, right? But like it's proper, because my brother thinks that like I remember stuff wrong as a kid and like it's proper weird. But basically it was a thing, it was like it was meant to be like the backstage and the wrestling where they do all the interviews and that. And like, had like a little magnet strip across the floor. So when you pressed your wrestler on it, your wrestler would like say things in their voice.
Okay.
And like, they all worked and they all sounded really good, but Kane never used to speak. So we used to think, oh, like, is it broken? But then we thought, like, no, maybe like it's just because Kane didn't really speak that much in real life. Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know who Kane the wrestler is, his whole character was he survived a house fire as a child, but he was so badly scarred and he couldn't talk anymore. He had to wear a mask. And he's another wrestler called The Undertaker was his brother who set the house on fire accidentally and he came back to fight him and it was all dramatic. But that's who he's Kane is, by the way. Well. He's also
undead.
He also has magical powers.
It's still real to me, Devin. But we thought, oh, maybe it's just because Kane doesn't speak. Maybe that's. But then we were like, well, no, because why would they have bothered putting the magnets on his feet? So I remember, when there was one day I remember just sat on my own and I was like, proper like pressing him like really hard against the magnet, like trying to get some sort of friction with this magnet so it would actually do something. And then all of a sudden, it just went in the most aggressive voice I've ever heard in my life. It just went, we've got some work to do. And then it just never did it again.
All of a sudden, you were like stabbing the eyes out of women in the paper and magazines and that. Kane needs fire from Anthony.
We've got work to do.
That's funny. I mean, dare I go back to The Simpsons and ask if you learned anything from the episodes?
I've learned, you know, that there's more to life than gambling and money.
Well, you're wrong there.
Obviously. But Homer doesn't know any better, does he?
No. I did quite like the closing image of him and Lisa sort of at the top of a hill with the sunset, though. That was nice.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice little image for us there. Yes, there were a few good jokes. Like I say, I think my favourite one was the store one with the
code red. The code red. That's hilarious, that night.
But one thing that really made us laugh, and I can't even describe why it was so funny to me, but there's a bit where Moore's taking bets and Krusty rings him and he's like, put me on for the Lakers, put me $700 on the Lakers. And then Sideshow, like, there's a show going on in the background and Sideshow Mel's like getting ready and like he honks his horn to get Krusty's attention and he's like, oh yeah, and puts Sideshow Mel down for $2,000. Casually betting $2,000.
I like how he was like a little bit busy, but he could still look over his shoulder and squeak just to like, Krusty, don't forget me, man, don't forget. Oh yeah.
That really got me. Good episode
all around that. Thank you everybody for joining us for another episode of Pod Pals. Do join us again next week when we will be reviewing Anthony. Do you know what it is? Because it's your episode.
I did see it. Is it Homer Alone?
I don't know. I'm just Googling it. You've got to give us a chance. The listeners, they now know we're not good at this. So
they like know before we've said it that we're going to get the episode wrong anyway. So like,
exactly. Yes, Homer Alone, you're right. The family's dependence on Marge causes her to suffer a nervous breakdown. Good episode this. When she's at the car and the cop is like, oh no, the fella's like, yeah, come on, lady, you got to move this car. And she growls like a lion. Oh, it's made me laugh at that.
Really funny. It's also, you can't spell Relaxo without Relax.
Yes, and our good friends over at Rancho Unrelaxo, we'll give them a shout there. Do join them on Facebook. Very good. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yada, 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 yada. We're on Buy Me a Coffee, etc. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. We hope we have made you laugh. And I mean, I'm always have a laugh, so we hope that that goes out to you, because we do try, as much as we laugh and we joke, we do try to bring you an episode every week. And apologies, actually, that we missed a week because of Zoom not allowing us to export a file. Still, that's podcasting, I guess.
Yep, that's amateur podcasting. What can you do?
In a nutshell. Oh, no, this is me in a nutshell. Oh, how did I get in this nutshell? Austin Powers reference. We just need a Waterboy reference so we fit the bingo. Pod Pals Bingo, Eating Pubes, The Waterboy, Austin Powers.
Sexual depravity.
Sexual depravity, perversion. Don't forget the perversion. Oh, dear. Anyway, thank you, everybody. See you all next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Come on, Daniel, we've got work to do.